It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with Michael Phelps weighing in on trans swimmers. At 2:30, why does January 18th matter? Birthdays for a couple of actors we dig. In a mere minutes, we continue our cleanup of the NFL's wild card weekend, which will no doubt continue Chad's lamenting of his Dallas Cowboys underachieving once again. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is the self-loathing Cowboys fan himself, Chad Hastings.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? Yes, I'm still processing it all. I was telling somebody in the office yesterday, when my teams lose, it kind of depends on the sport sometimes, because at times, if I get way invested and my team loses, sometimes I'll just back all the way out and never watch the celebration of the other team. But in the case of the Cowboys and football, usually, I don't bask in the loss, but I wallow in it. I will rewatch. I'll go back over it. And it is kind of the job, too. I got to be following things. But I'll go back over it, Trey, in intense detail. I've gone through that last play in slow motion multiple times, focusing on Dak once, focusing on the umpire once, focusing on different players. I'll do that. I'll go all the way back through every little thing to dig through it. So I'll admit that part of it. If that makes me self-loathing, then maybe that is the way to describe it. But I am still processing the Cowboys thing. We know a lot of you are. So you can deal with that, and we'll hopefully help you deal with that. Somebody's already texted, you're a Bucks fan, not a Cowboys fan. Well, sometimes. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's been nice to be able to hang your hat on the Bucks these last few years.
Yeah, there have been years of my life when people make fun of me for even wanting to have another team and it be that team. Now I just get accused of front running because the Bucks are having a pretty good time right now. So Trey, before we get started again with the NFL, we talk about all the time. We tell people to get the app, The Horn Austin, in your app store.
Yeah.
Take it with you wherever you go. And we've had really cool stories over the years of, like, somebody was in line at the Vatican listening to Bucky and Aaron. Somebody went to the Great Wall of China. I've gotten messages from Singapore and China, just all over the world.
I turn it on because it's mood music for Justine and me when I'm really trying to get her into that headspace. We listen to The Horn.
Darn right.
You haven't gotten into the mood until you've listened to Sports Map Radio while you're trying to get there.
But I have never had this exact thing happen. I received an email from a man named Hanu Tekanen.
Okay.
And it starts, "Dear Mr. Hastings, hello from Finland, North Europe. This might be surprising news. With a special radio receiver and an outdoor copper wire antenna, I have been able to pick up your station on 1260 kilohertz medium waves here on the other side of the globe, not through the internet. I'm an old-timer radio enthusiast, 61 years old, with a favorite hobby to listen to the distant radio stations on the AM band. That's how I learned to do it back in the early 70s. He is claiming that he heard us through radio waves on 1260 from Finland. So, if you're out there, Hanu, what's up?" He sent a picture of himself. He sent us a nice picture of some Finnish trees in Finland. Like a scene in Finland.
Okay.
And he sent us a picture of his little radio setup. So
not like Bob Ross, trees that Bob Ross has finished?
No, that's correct. These are actual Finnish trees that he took a photograph of.
That's cool.
It looks very cold and snowy there.
That's an awesome story.
Wow.
It's complete BS, but it's still an awesome story.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to tell him that he probably didn't hear it, but I'll let him believe he heard it. That's cool that he listened to us all the way in Finland.
I feel like he's one of those lonely souls who peddles that story to radio stations across the country to see how many program directors will actually respond to him. Did you give him a nice email response in return?
I have not, because I just saw it during the show, but okay. I will definitely email him back tonight. So we would certainly encourage you to get that app so you don't have to work as hard as Hanu does, because that's tough work right there, trying to get it the old-fashioned way. But we do appreciate you listening, getting the app, streaming the shows, and taking us with you wherever you go. And of course, if you are a Cowboys fan, you dealt with the crazy of Sunday. You may have listened to the broadcast right here on The Horn, and Cowboys lose to the Niners. We've talked about the slightly updated story on Mike McCarthy, where Stephen Jones was asked if he's confident McCarthy would lead the team in 2022. He says, quote, absolutely very confident. And remember, he's the executive VP, Trey. So for people that get into the whole Jerry thing, remember, Jerry still does like two radio shows a week. But Stephen also appears now on radio pretty frequently.
That's right, at least once a week.
And Stephen will also sit next to Jerry at the press conference you know I love so much every year when we get to training camp and we chop the legs out from under the head coach by having the head coach, the owner, and the executive VP do a press conference all together. You know, like no other team does in the NFL but the Cowboys. So Stephen is a part of this thing. He's given credit over the years for like draft stuff and keeping dad, you know, keeping dad online and keeping dad from being distracted. My question to you is, third party observer, when you see a story like that, how in cement is that for you because it's Stephen and not Jerry? Like how much stock do you really take in that?
Oh, even if Jerry had said it, I would have put the same amount of stock in. I think that he's being authentic here. They are not planning on getting rid of Mike McCarthy. By the way, speaking of Stephen sitting next to Jerry at every press conference, so back around the turn of the 20th century, Thomas Edison, who's obviously one of the great inventors / innovators in American history, he and his wife had a communication system with one another where if they were at social events, if they were in social settings, they could actually talk to one another discreetly based on the taps of fingers that they were doing on the other person's hand to essentially help themselves get out of really annoying situations. Like if they needed an excuse to get pulled away from a conversation, there would be a little bit of code going on amongst the fingers. I wonder if Stephen and Jerry have something like that where Jerry starts going a little bit too far off the deep end in one direction. Stephen has something that he's doing to Jerry's leg or his arm or that old skin on his hand and fingers to kind of reel him back in, you know?
He's like thumping a mole on his hand or something.
Poking on a liver spot.
The other thing I wonder is with something that important, did they actually think through it enough to have a little discussion and know that, like, Stephen's radio appearance was first? So after Jerry did the group interview and didn't want to talk about it, would they have discussed it and said, hey, by the way, when you go on 105.3, tell them we're not changing coaches because we're not.
Because Jerry's today.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I believe that's true.
And Jerry may have been this morning, too. We may actually know what his official comments on it are 2 days after the fact.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But see, I think Stephen's word matters as much as anything here. Yeah. It does. Even though Jerry could come out and say, you know what, I'm tired of McCarthy, we're going to fire him. Jerry's not going to do that because he's given enough respect to Stephen and the rest of that front office now that even though it's in his nature to just jam a stick into the spokes of the whole thing, he's not going to do that right here and now.
I think one of the other things that's going on, and this in a way can be used against Jerry, I know, but if you watch that interview he did with the media after the game, he was crushed.
He said it's one of the most disappointing losses. What were the exact words? One of the most disappointing losses we've ever experienced.
Yeah. I think the last thing they tried to ask, it was like, yeah, can you remember one that affected you more than this? Or can you remember a tougher loss? And he said, no, not right now, no. Yeah. I can't remember. Because the expectation was there. You're the 3 seed. I'd give him one that was probably more of that. Because when they were the 1 seed and lost to the Giants, I still feel that one. Mm-hmm. I still see Patrick Creighton in my nightmares from that one. So there are moments that maybe we could bring up, but you're the 3, you're supposed to beat the 6. I know it was a bad matchup, but that really got to Jerry. So I think he's going to have to process all of that. But then the other thing, of course, Trey, just like anybody else you would say to a fan base or whatever, crazy owner or not, you got to have an idea. So what would you really do? I've heard people throw out all these ideas that are real, honest football ideas. Do you honestly think that's what Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are about to do? An honest, real football thing that would require a real football GM?
Only if they're forced into it, and that will require them to replace one, if not both, coordinators.
But they still won't go that path, will they? For a coordinator. You're right. They'd replace a coordinator with a football guy. But
I mean, they tried to do that with Mike McCarthy. They bought McCarthy's BS hook, line, and sinker that he'd been hunkered down in his Wisconsin bunker evolving with the game. Yeah,
you're right. He felt real when they made the choice. Now,
watching hours on end of quote-unquote new football and bringing guys in and paying closer attention to the numbers, there's just one problem, Chad. You can look at all the numbers that you want to. If you don't understand what they mean, it doesn't matter. You may as well be staring at a blank piece of paper. And that's how you have to feel about Mike McCarthy right now if you're a Cowboys fan. You have no faith that this guy is any better as a coach than he was during his time with Green Bay. The biggest difference is he doesn't necessarily have that difference maker at the quarterback position right now.
Sometimes you have to go off the reaction of that other fan base. And you remember what Packers fans were saying.
Yes.
They were laughing.
It's the same thing that Longhorn fans had to deal with after they hired Herb Hand.
Yep.
And there was some enthusiasm there. And then you talk to Auburn and Penn State people, and you're like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be that good.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he can make a mean barbecue.
Now, you mentioned earlier a comparison between Mike McCarthy and another coach with facial hair who seems to stare into space when things go wrong. Because last night, by the end of it, Cliff Kingsbury did a lot of staring. For you, the level of disappointment. Cowboys fans, it's always going to get cranked up because they're the Cowboys. How upset should Arizona fans be right now with what they just watched?
They should be pretty upset because of the expectations that were heaped upon this team after the first month and 2 months of the season. But I think a lot of Arizona fans and people around the league now realize that Cliff Kingsbury is not cut out to be an NFL head coach right now. I think the questions are legitimate as to whether or not he is a bona fide evolved offensive mind at the NFL level. I mean, I know he did some nice things at Texas Tech, and the Cardinals have put up really gaudy numbers over these last couple of years, but part of that is on Kyler Murray. And Cliff Kingsbury, when you add the head coaching duties into everything else, he is below average at his job as compared to the other 31 guys in this league. I mean, I don't know if he's above or below McCarthy. I feel like they're operating on that same tier, though.
So I've said before, when they met each other, I said that I think Kingsbury and Kellen Moore see football similarly. I think their ideas sometimes are similar.
I could buy that.
There's two numbers about last night that would freak me out if I was an Arizona fan, especially my kind of fan, and they are 18 and 36. 18 rush attempts in the game, 36 minutes of time of possession for the Rams. Mm. Those two things are tough to deal with. And yeah, you can talk about Kyler Murray and the horrible night he had. I get all that. But Cliff Kingsbury's, you know, learning from the Mike Leach tree, you don't get taught that running game matters. And you don't get taught that time of possession ever matters. Ever. Those guys laugh at nerds like me that want to talk time of possession and third down percentage and all that. They've got it all figured out. But when I watch a game like that last night, I'm like, what would you do if you're an Arizona fan here? Like you're telling a quarterback that you know is having a bad night. You're the only thing I've got. You're it. Your arm is the only answer I have, just like Kellen Moore's only answer is Dak's arm. So when you go about it in that way in the NFL nowadays, you better have two things. You better have a badass run defense on the other side that can get that team off the field, a really good defense, and you just need to have a quarterback that is more elite than Kyler Murray may ever be.
Vance Joseph's defense was a saving grace for Arizona in the second half of the season. If there was a reason why they might be able to do something in the playoffs, it's because the defense had come along so far in just this one season. Unfortunately, Kyler has struggled too mightily over the last couple of months. I mean, he's back there throwing the football like he's afraid he's about to get hit. And I get that he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore after a certain point. He's out for the year with, I forget if it was a knee or hip injury. But you still have two very talented receivers in A.J. Green and Christian Kirk, who Kyler Murray has shown with Kirk in the past that he can be that number one guy for him. But even still, they could not get it done, I think, because Kyler Murray, I don't know if there's an injury there or something else going on psychologically. He was not the same player that has taken this league by storm over the last couple years.
Yeah, that's fair. You didn't mention Rondale Moore. That's a weapon he's got. Ertz is out there for him.
Ertz was a nice addition for them too, by the way.
I'm not saying they have to scheme it up enough to win a Super Bowl. I'm saying they need to scheme it up better than 34-11. They could have schemed a fight. Scheme up a fight against that team. Put up a fight. They are just as up and down as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Put Stafford in a bad spot. They didn't do that last night.
No, they didn't.
Man, Stafford looked incredible, and Arizona looked awful. Rams advance. And I asked a question earlier, Trey, to all the fans out there. I've seen people giving the Rams a chance to get this done against Tampa and get it done and go to the Super Bowl. Do you think they're that good? Do you think the Rams are good enough to play in their home Super Bowl?
Yes, I do, because when Kevin and I talked about this on RBKD a few weeks ago when I was filling in for Rod, who was on vacation at the time over Christmas break, he asked who I thought the best teams to be meeting in each conference championship game were at the time. And even then, I said the Packers and the Rams. And I think that's still the pick that I'm going with this weekend, is it's going to be Packers and Rams. And if you can make it to the AFC, to the NFC championship game, you can absolutely win that game and go all the way. Because so many people have been pointing out that the Packers, they do have their warts too. Most of those being on the defensive side of the ball. Now, I give them a little bit more credit defensively than I think some people are. But as far as a starting 22 goes, the Rams are maybe as good as anybody left in these playoffs. With the biggest question mark being in a huge position, mind you.
Sure.
That is quarterback. But Matt Stafford, even with a limited, I guess, bit of video in terms of what he was able to do in the playoffs, was at least able to get over that hump of winning that first playoff game and really not having to throw the football too much as a result. Boy, that had to have made you jealous last night, watching the Rams run it as much as they did and making plays on defense, not putting too much on their quarterback's shoulders in the process.
No, that's it.
He may have to face that at some point this postseason, but it wasn't for the first game at least.
Yeah, and that's what fascinates me about this next matchup. Will the Rams have enough guts to go after that Bucs run defense? Because they've been a little susceptible these last couple weeks. And then do the Bucs get Fournette back or not? Because can they go after the Rams and run the ball effectively with just Vaughn and just without Ronald Jones? Because I don't think they get him back. Can they do it with Vaughn and Gio Bernard? Because we all realize what they just beat, right? Everybody knows what the Bucs just beat. That Eagles team is not good. Don't judge it that way. Everybody start judging my Cowboys that way. Well, the Cowboys hung 50. Stop. Stop. Doesn't matter. The Eagles are not playoff quality. So can the Bucs run the ball, or will Brady be forced to go up into that 40-45 throws area? Is that where Byron Leftwich is going to put him? Because then Aaron Donald's coming to dinner. That's a fascinating matchup, man. I'm going to be old. You know me. I'm an old school guy. I think whoever runs the ball wins that game. I think that's the key. Everybody will talk about those two quarterbacks and all that. I think it is a running game. Run the ball. Keep the ball away from the other team. That's who wins. And I wonder if the Rams are gutsy enough. Because I'm a fan of the Bucs. I've watched them all year long, and I don't think their rush defense is that incredible. I think they can be had if you smack them in the face.
I know Sean McVay is willing to give it a try, only because he did so on their Super Bowl run a couple years ago. Remember how they lost Todd Gurley late in the season, and C.J. Anderson became the guy?
Yeah.
And they actually used C.J. Anderson to run all over the Cowboys at that game in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
And how the guys were talking after the game, how they knew exactly what the defense was that Cowboys front was running based on how they were lined up.
Yeah, that's what he has to do. Because here's the other thing deep down. There's one head coach in that game that knows if he has to rely only on his quarterback,
he can't.
He is in trouble. And it's McVay.
No, you're right.
Because the other guy knows, hey, you know what? I understand. Banged up on the offensive line. Their defense is awesome. But if I'm trusting my guy, I'll trust my guy all day long. McVay knows if it comes down to a Stafford moment, that could be tough. So, crazy matchup there. And obviously, Niners, Packers on the other side. The four NFC teams fighting in the division. We'll be talking about those games throughout the week. Remember, Cincinnati, Tennessee starts us on Saturday, then San Francisco, Green Bay. So, your 2-1 seeds will be in action on Saturday. A lot of NFL talk coming this week. Keep it right here on the Horn. Also, up next, it's January 18th. We'll tell you why it matters to us, including a couple of monster Hollywood birthdays and a day that your kids probably are into. And let's face it, you're probably into it as well. Coming up on the Horn.
Weep for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man. You're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rake yourself. Take all the courage you have left. And and wasted on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my...
So close. It's a great song. What a wonderful song. Mumford and Sons, and it's Little Lion Man. Is that the name of that song?
Yeah, Little Lion Man. Even though Mumford and Sons, I'm not crazy about their body of work. I think a lot of their music sounds very similar.
I would agree.
Like a folky Foo Fighters, let's say.
Okay, yeah.
This album and this song in particular are really good.
This is a capsule, time capsule for the aliens kind of song for me. I love that song.
Agreed. Like
great track.
Early 2010s.
Yeah, just
time capsule.
Great track. Love it. And definitely can't stand to hear the version that you just played because I don't get to hear the great usage of the F word.
I really effed it up this time.
So good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, remind them, Trey's got another Books on Pod podcast for you, and this one is animal related.
Yeah, that's right. The author is zoologist and writer Joe Wimpenny. Her new book is Aesop's Animals, The Science Behind the Fables. She breaks down a number of Aesop's fables and the science that I think either validates or debunks whether a version of these fables could actually happen. That includes the lion and the shepherd, and within our conversation, you can find out what differentiates big cats and small cats, and also the evolutionary reason for the lion's mane. For a long time, people have believed the theory put forth by Charles Darwin, but recently researchers have learned that's not exactly the case. Find out more by listening to our chat at booksonpod.com.
By the way, Trey, another bit of good news for you from Zay's wedding. Not only did somebody recognize that you were doing the gritty, but the father of the bride gave Books on Pod a little love when we were talking about the station.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? He said some nice things. Kevin said some nice things to me about that as well. Really appreciated getting to meet him, and he really is a huge, he's a P1 for this radio station. It's always great to get to meet people like that. And it's funny because, you know, we being the air staff of the horn and our partners, for those of us who brought wives, we were pointed out as the horn table.
Yeah.
A couple different times,
cool.
Which is extra embarrassing because we were also the table that was extremely distracted by our phones watching the end of the Cowboys 49ers game.
Yeah.
And not being in the moment.
It was a little embarrassing when they said, "Guys, would you like to say something?" And Aaron Hogan screamed, "Fumble!" That was tough. That was a little bit tough. But shout out to the FOB and the rest of the crowd there.
See, I just made that Mike McCarthy looking up at the Jumbotron noise whenever they said that. I just looked up and said, "Dang!
That thing's big. That's a big screen up there." All right, a reminder, Texas basketball tonight against Kansas State. Can't have 20 turnovers again. You can't lose points off turnovers 23-12 like they did in Ames. We'll see if they can get some things straightened out. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 is your tip time tonight. Also, good news out of the NFL, Buda Baker is out of the hospital and doing well today.
That is great news. Chad, I feel like there has been a rash of that sort of head injury this year where guys hit their heads. Sometimes it's helmet to helmet, sometimes just hitting their head on the ground, and they end up knocked out and like almost paralyzed for long enough that they end up getting stretchered off the field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the change in helmet design. I don't know if there's something else at play, but hopefully somebody who's much smarter than me is paying attention to that as well and can do some research into figuring out why guys are hitting that middle to back part of the top of their head and ending up in such a scary predicament where they're literally having to take an ambulance out of the stadium because they can't feel their extremities.
Yeah, hopefully they're going to continue to do the test they've done, and the helmet thing has been evolving. The companies are really into it now where each year they're doing all this testing and they're throwing helmets out that are testing really low. Remember Brady had to change his helmet a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They got rid of it and said, no, you guys can't wear that helmet anymore. It's too old technology-wise, so maybe they will look into that and see that maybe there's a little more of that side impact stuff. Because they've really dealt with the front of the helmet.
That's true.
Crown of the helmet. But maybe what you're talking about is they've dealt with that. They've dealt with the area around the jaw. Remember to add more to the side of the helmet there. But you're talking about up on the head, like almost even with the ear area. And if they start looking at that, maybe that's something that, you know, they can help that can be used to help that technology out.
Yeah, you take the crown, take the crown of the head, like the very top of the head where most people have a calic, and you start to go down towards the ears, that wing part of the head, like we're, you know, thinking about the 3-point line, the wing is where guys have been making contact with other helmets of the ground and ending up in these scary positions. I do wonder if something has maybe changed mechanically with regards to how those helmets deal with that blunt force trauma, and maybe that's just a spot right now that is overexposed because of the added emphasis put in so many other areas of the helmet.
Yeah, you might be right. Great to hear that Buda Baker is doing well. All right, it is January the 18th. Let's tell you why that matters to us. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Well, there's an old saying, I guess a lot of old people say it, maybe young people say this too, but I think it's once you get to a certain age, you start thinking, man, if I look that good when I'm blank. Trey, we have a birthday today of somebody that is aging extremely well. Today is Kevin Costner's 67th. Have you seen Kevin Costner lately?
Not only, I have seen him on Yellowstone, yes.
Oh my God.
But I also literally stood right next to him, I want to say it was 3 years ago at South by Southwest, and that is one handsome dude.
Oh,
I was
standing
next to him asking him questions, saying to myself, I understand why my mom has a big crush on him.
Sure, because it just has aged really well, and for some women, they're going to be mad that I say this, or some fans of, you know, handsome guys. I think by the end of it, he may have aged better than even like a Robert Redford did over through those same years. Like, he's 67, and Kevin Costner still looks really good.
Yeah.
Good for him. I have not watched Yellowstone. I know it's a big show for people, but obviously Kevin Costner, one of the biggest movie stars of our lifetime, and this is his thing. This is his first, like, really journey into that, right, where he's been a part of a big series, a streamable series. He's never done that.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of any other examples. I'm also going through my head right now. I feel like Kevin Costner is on the Mount Rushmore of actors to play sports figures. Or actors in sports movies, I guess, if you want to go a little bit more broad. But he's also played sports characters, too, that were not only huge in the moment, but have also stood the test of time.
Yeah, no.
You're talking about his baseball roles.
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously great as an amateur golfer trying to make it big in Tin Cup.
That was good.
And he was a GM for the Cleveland Browns in Draft Day. It's not the best movie necessarily, but that is his football effort so far.
Still haven't seen that one.
But the baseball stuff especially, and, you know, obviously he possessed that ability, which was part of the allure to Ron Shelton in bringing him aboard as Crash Davis and Bull Durham.
So I don't even know what to compare it to, but every time I'm rolling around the channels and Bull Durham's on, the way he controls scenes in that movie is just amazing to watch. The one on the stuff on the bus when he's telling him about being in the show, the stuff on the field when he's directing Nuke to do whatever it is or yelling at him or whatever.
Or he's just holding court, whether it's with one guy or the entire team.
Yeah, it's a wonderful character. That's probably my favorite Kevin Costner character of all time is Crash Davis. If I had to pick one guy, one Kevin Costner, I think I'm going with Davis.
I don't remember the character's name in Waterworld. That was a pretty good one, too.
You're going with the one with gills, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, yeah.
I
recycling his own urine at the very beginning.
I could make fun of it, but I did watch that whole movie in the theater, and I didn't leave.
You know, you think that I was making a joke about that film. I saw it in the theater, too. It was a good movie.
No, I didn't mind it.
It just didn't meet box office expectations because it cost like $200 million to make at a time where money like that wasn't being spilt on films. And if it was, you had to make that back 3 or 4 times over.
It was the most, it was the most expensive movie that had ever been made at the time.
Right.
And he essentially had to pull off, not quite like Tom Hanks in Castaway, but like he was that whole movie. You had to be watching him. There were other people in the movie.
I think you're not giving enough credit to Gene Triplehorn or Dennis Hopper.
Oh, Dennis Hopper was good, though. Dennis Hopper was good. Dennis Hopper was good. They weren't as good as Wilson in Castaway, but I mean, Wilson should have gotten a supporting actor Oscar. So,
who else is on that Mount Rushmore, by the way? Guys who have played just good sports characters over time.
Oh, geez.
In a variety of movies.
See, somebody's going to text us Keanu Reeves, but I don't know if that's...
See, Keanu's the first name that I came up with, and he doesn't... It's not like he has this huge body of work. He played the quarterback in The Replacements, and he played Johnny Utah, who was a former star quarterback at the college level.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx has played some sports guys.
Jamie Foxx is a good answer.
What about Denzel? Denzel was in Hurricane, and Denzel was the coach in Remember the Titans. If you're saying sports movies.
I think that's how much of a dearth exists for guys who have been able to pull off the sports star thing over time.
Yeah. Somebody texts in, Kevin Costner sucks. Sincerely, Cal Ripken Jr. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
that urban legend's a good one.
It's fantastic.
I wonder how many people out there don't know that urban legend.
That's a solid one. I just learned it a few years ago. That's a great legend. Kevin Costner, amazing in the movie No Way Out. He was young back then. That's a good movie. You ever seen No Way Out with him and Sean Connery?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Navy.
And Sean Young.
Yeah, Sean Young, too. It's like a naval police kind of movie, I think is what it is.
Something
in that area, yeah.
He was great in Fandango, where he played a student graduating from the University of Texas.
Oh, I never saw that.
And they take a trip down to the border to find a buried bottle of Dom Perignon.
Oh, that's...
It's a cool flick. I don't know if it stands the test of time. It's something that we watched while we were students at the University of Texas and really enjoyed it.
My favorite bad guy, Kevin Costner, is Perfect World with Clint Eastwood. You ever seen that whole movie?
Yes.
He's brilliant in there.
That's good.
Costner
is so good
in that movie. That's one of my favorite bad guys. That's the first movie I ever watched where I knew I was like falling for the person I shouldn't be.
Mm.
Where I realized I liked a character that was a horrible human.
Sure.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm being trapped. I am being trapped here. And it worked, though. He was great. Also, Trey, real quick, you wanted to mention Jason Segel, who has a 42nd birthday today.
I dig Segel. He was great in How I Met Your Mother. And he obviously was very funny and also really exposed his full self in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But I think that over time, he's proven to be a very solid actor as well, who does not have to lean on the comedy necessarily.
Still have not seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Is it worth watching?
Damn, dude. We've got a long list of movies we're about to have to review.
That's Mila Kunis, right?
Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell.
Whoa, really?
Russell Brand, yeah.
Both of those women?
Yes.
In the same movie?
Yes.
I don't even care how it ends up. Let's go. Let's do it.
Bill Hader's in the film.
I love Bill Hader.
Brief appearances.
Love Bill Hader.
That's a quality flick. Add it to the list.
Speaking of, is Barry coming back?
Yes, it is coming back.
Can't wait for that.
Their production, I think they were doing the next two seasons concurrently, and they may be in post-production now.
All right.
But then they're going to space them out like Ozark has.
Fair enough. Ozark this Friday, Saturday, coming up?
I think so.
Oh, very excited.
I think so. I need to get through the rest of Dope Sick, which is, my goodness, you want to talk about a good series that will give you a true sense of how Big Pharma operates at times, specifically within the confines of the opioid epidemic that was just further fueled in the 1990s by Purdue Pharma, and they're rolling out of OxyContin. That is a phenomenal series. Highly recommend it for everybody.
That is why January 18th matters to us. Coming up next, we'll get you some stems and seeds, including some updates around the NFL firings, and then who may get hired as well. Plus, Trey's got a story from the Big 12. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Song. This one's right up my alley. I'm sure Michael Jackson's big fans may not love it, but Trey, it's one of my favorite covers ever. Ever. I love what this band does with this song because they make it theirs.
Yes, they do. There's a reason why you use that intro, that instrumental as intro music in a previous show that we did together.
Loved
it. I will
it.
Think about you every time I hear this song. And you're right, it is one of the all-time great covers.
Love that cover. And they are Alien Ant Farm, is that right?
Alien Ant Farm, the key word is ant, as I have one more shameless podcast promotion for today's show. Books on Pod, new episode this morning with Joe Wimpenny. He is the author of Aesop's Animals, The Science Behind the Fables. And that includes the fable of the ant and the grasshopper. Mm. Ants are fascinating creatures for a number of reasons. Superorganisms, according to many, learn all about the ant highway and what we human drivers can possibly take from the ants to make our driving habits a little bit better at booksonpod.com.
I will admit, the rest of the Alien Ant Farm catalog, I haven't really fallen in love yet.
So you've given it a listen, because that's the only song of theirs that I know.
I've listened to a little bit more of their stuff, and the Michael Jackson cover's my favorite.
You know, a lot of bands only catch lightning in a bottle once.
Yeah, it is a great cover, though. All right, so check that one out if maybe you haven't. Alien Ant Farm, Mumford & Sons, Jimi Hendrix, The Donkees, Wolf Mother, and Black Crowes, all on the show today. Thanks to Trey for all the great musical choices, and definitely check out those great conversations at booksonpod.com. All right, let's get you stems and seeds and find out what Trey's got in the Big 12. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, what do you got for me? Tell me Bob Bowlsby's doing something good.
So, Chad, you had a feeling this might be happening, especially if Texas and Oklahoma end up stuck in this conference until 24-25, which by that time, the conference will have added four new teams, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, and I don't even remember who else.
BYU?
Yes, BYU,
yeah.
Thank you. Well, according to a report from 24/7 Sports, the Big 12 is considering splitting back up into divisions.
Oh, my God.
For the rest of the Big 12's time with Texas and Oklahoma.
They really can't get out of this thing? Between Texas, OU, and the SEC, they can't get them out of this?
I am begging them to do so.
Oh, my God.
But if they can't, and the Big 12 does have to split up in divisions for the 2023 division, which is the first year that they would have 12 teams once again, I'm asking... Actually, that would be 14 teams at that point. I'm asking that the Big 12 holds a North/South draft and televises it on ESPN+.
All right, that I'd watch. I'd watch that. Also, real quick, Raiders fired Mike Mayock after 3 years. I'll be selfish. I just want him back at the Combine. Can I get him back at the Combine? He was awesome there. RBKD coming up next. Longhorn basketball tonight. See ya.